Bibles, would you please turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 3. A couple of weeks ago, we started this chapter. We're able to work our way through half of the first paragraph. This morning, we'll look at the second paragraph, or the second half of the paragraph. Let's read it all, just to remind ourselves of where we were and where we want to be today. So Ephesians 3 and verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations... I know that's what I read, but now I can't find it. Was made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are your glory. Let's pray. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come this morning to hear from you. Our needs are as unique as we are, but you know what we need for today, for this week. And we listen carefully to what you have to say to us. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. Whoever me is, male, female, black, white, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, Jesus loves me. Now, I know you know that, and that doesn't surprise you at all. But I hope it excites you. Because if it doesn't, somewhere along the line, you're still playing with the idea that I earned it, or I'm entitled to it. We have learned that salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, has to be offered to all. A Jewish-only salvation would add an element of human effort, entitlement, something many claim. My grandfather started this church. My mother taught for years in this church. I've gone to this church for as long as I can remember. They brought me here the first Sunday after I was born. All of that, good, great. But does not entitle you to God's love or salvation. So just because we no longer fight the battle of Jew and Gentile, don't slip into the thought that in any way you can deserve it. That's why Paul wrote in chapter 2 in verses 8 and 9, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You cannot boast in having earned your salvation. Because if you do, salvation is not what you have. God's salvation is a gift. And while it had been a mystery, Paul is now in a Roman prison because it had been revealed to him that all men have access to salvation. Remember verse 1 of chapter 3? "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." If we were to take the time and go back and look at Acts 19 and 20 and 21, an interesting story unfolds. Paul is arrested, not because he's a threat to the Romans, but because he's a threat to the Jews. The Jews arrest him. The Jews accuse him of doing things they shouldn't do. He's accused specifically of taking a Gentile into the temple, something he did not do, by the way. But he's arrested by the Jews, accused by the Jews, and in the last trial that he has, the king looks at him and says, "If you had not appealed to Caesar, I would have to let you free. But because you appealed to Caesar, off to Rome you go." Paul is in a prison because he taught, he understood, he had come to see the mystery of God's love to all. And of course, at that point, salvation is totally unleashed upon the entire world. Now, mystery, not in the sense that I don't want you to know something, okay? Or not that I'm just going to kind of dribble out clues and see if you can figure it out. Mystery in the sense that if I told you right now who did it, you wouldn't understand. But to the level of your understanding, I let you know what you can know and understand. And at each level, tell you more and more. You will eventually understand this truth. Who better illustrates that than God? And you and me. Can you imagine God trying to fit everything he knows into your puny head? Then try and think of employing it in my puny head. Instead, he tells us what we need to know and we can understand it, so that we can put it together with the next bit of information we learn to understand that, which is what he did through the prophets. We look at the Old Testament through the lens of the New. We look at all of those prophecies that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah and Daniel wrote. And we say, "Oh yeah, clear as a bell." But you're looking at it through the Gospels and the writings of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles. You're looking at it through 2020 lenses. Paul says it was a mystery. Now that we have seen Jesus, now that we've seen the extent of God's love was never intended for just one family, for just one tribe, for just one nation. No. Now that we understand the gift of God, that salvation is for all. This morning, there are two more aspects of this mystery that I want to unpack. First, verses 8, 9, and 10, it is hidden in God. To me, verse 8, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Paul refers to himself regularly as the least of all saints, least of all the apostles. But don't misunderstand what he's saying. He's not saying that there's anything inferior to his message. He's not saying that because of his past, he persecuted the church. He was responsible for at least the imprisoning of some of the early Christians, if not the very deaths of some. And he refers to himself as sort of coming to it rather late, thinking I should have figured this out sooner. I'm a Pharisee. I know God's word. But I didn't. But never does he want us to think that that makes him in some way inferior, or that his message is inferior. Remember, he said it. I didn't go to Jerusalem. I didn't get my message from James, the bishop of the church. I didn't get my message from Peter or the other apostles. No, I got my message directly from God. He revealed these things to me, these truths. And it begins with this unfathomable, that's awfully hard to say, really tough to understand riches of Christ. They're unfathomable in the sense that there's no bottom to it. There's no end. There's no limit to the riches of Christ. We sing of his faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. All you have given, I don't need anymore. You've given me all that I need. Because his grace is limitless. And so I can preach this unlimitless grace even to the Gentiles. And when I do, verse 9, to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. We are reminded again, in the beginning, God. Genesis 2 and 3, creation. Genesis 1 and 2, creation. Genesis 3, sin comes in. And in Genesis 3, God promises salvation. He promises a redeemer. He promises a way out. Not first to Abraham, not first to the sons of Jacob, but first to Adam, the one responsible for the mess we're in, who promised salvation. And so Paul offers, it's accepted, and there is the evidence that God's riches are, in fact, limitless and extend to all men. So that, verse 10, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. What in the world is he talking about? God, through Paul, for instance, not the only one, but Paul, God through Paul, shares to the world that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to all. Any who will receive that are welcome. Any who will believe that, recognize that, are welcome. God turns none away. What a wonderful message. It's shared. We are amazed. But in that, it's also made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Who is that? And you have to put together several passages, I think, to properly understand. But in more than one place, with the Apostle Paul and others, the writer of Hebrews, Peter, all draw the connection between the great love of God for creation, specifically mankind, and how all of that played out in heaven before the angels. What Paul is saying here is that when we fully understand salvation, and when salvation is offered to all, and men and women, black and white, slave and free, Jew and Gentile, male, whoever, when they recognize this immensity of God's love and receive it, and the angels look and see the evidence of God's great love and of His grace, they are filled with even more reason to praise Him, which is what they were created for. That's what Paul's talking about here. In other portions of Scripture, the angels watch, and they watch in amazement as God's love is poured out upon us, and as we respond to that, and live faithfully and obediently. And in that, they are inspired again to praise Him. We are the reason. We are a part of the reason. The angels worship and praise God as evidence of His great grace and love. They will never experience that. They have nothing to be saved from. They will never understand the lostness of mankind, the utter lostness of mankind, and the joy of forgiveness. But when they see it, they are amazed again at God's great love. And we are an example to them. We are to be an example then to them of God's great love. This is also then in keeping with His eternal purpose. Always a part of His plan. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. When Adam sinned, he hid from God. He said it was because he was naked. Remember what God said to him? Who told you you were naked? What's the big deal? Why? Well, until that point, there was nothing between Adam and God. They walked together, they talked together. But now sin has interrupted that relationship, and Adam needs to hide. And in that hiding, he covers himself, thinking even better to hide something from God, as though he could. Forgiveness of sin. again that we are open before God. Nothing separates us. Nothing gets in the way. That's why God said, when you do sin, confess your sin, and I'll forgive it. Because sin will get in the way from time to time, and I want to give you a way to handle that so that we can very quickly get back on the right page together. I don't want sin getting in the way of our relationship. The only way to do that was through Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ, the Redeemer, the one that was promised back in Genesis 30. Jesus, the son of Mary, the little boy who was born like every other little boy, except for the fact that he didn't have an earthly father. Grew up like every other little boy, except he never once sinned. No disobedience, no talking back, no lying, stealing, cheating, none of that. And he is Lord. He's God himself. And that's how that happened. He doesn't have an earthly father. God is his father. So he is God. That made him the one, only, unique sacrifice for our sins. For the sins of the whole world. And in him we have boldness and confident access to him by faith. By grace, through faith, in Christ. Our conclusion is here in verse 13. Therefore, because of all of this, therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. Remember up in verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Ephesus was a largely Gentile church. He gets back, he met them on his third missionary journey, his last official missionary journey. He goes back to Jerusalem and is arrested. He's a prisoner because the Jewish elite didn't like the idea that God would love the world. That includes Samaritans and Gentiles, and surely God doesn't love them. We certainly don't. They had to silence that message. They thought they could silence the message by silencing this one messenger. There were folks there at the church that felt responsible, that were grieved for what Paul was going through. And he's telling them, don't worry about it. Yes, on your behalf, not personally, but on behalf of all Gentiles. We are being persecuted. In my case, in prison. Paul loved the Ephesians, and he knew they loved him. But for the Apostle Paul, location was no reason for discouragement. Didn't matter where he was. He would teach. Remember, he's not limited to a Jewish audience. Those Roman soldiers that are coming in to check on him, to guard him, he has no problem whatsoever sharing the gospel with them. We think that may be one of the ways that the gospel actually penetrated the house of Caesar. Now, it may have been servants, but even in Caesar's house, there were those who had come to believe in Christ, believe in Jesus. Could it have been the witness of the Apostle Paul? Maybe. Maybe it was the witness of the Apostle Paul to a guard, to some of them. Don't know. But for the Apostle Paul, it didn't matter. So he's telling these dear folks, don't worry about it. And on more than one occasion, he suggests that the goal has always been to get to Rome. And he doesn't really seem to care how. For the Apostle Paul, opportunity was everywhere. For you and me, opportunity is everywhere. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. Thank you for this simple but profound truth that we can know forgiveness of our sins, be in a right relationship with you, and know that we have an eternity with you ahead through no work on our part. Now, once we become your children, we need to look like it and act like it. We need to live faithfully and obediently, but we did not earn our salvation. We did not deserve it. We were not entitled to it. It was your grace that we responded to by faith because of the finished work of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So we can, with boldness and confidence, share that truth with anyone, without limit, and know that perhaps they too will respond to your grace by faith. May we serve you faithfully in that way this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.